You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, now, wow, she's action-packed today. Now, just in front of me is young Ivan. He's fresh from the minefields over in Perth. And he's
in the Antipodes.
The Antipodes, absolutely correct, Ivan. And Ivan and I are the only ones here at the minute. Young Max is coming in to tell us all he knows about sport, which should take probably 12 seconds or more. No, he's good on the sport.
No, he's good on the sport.
And yep. Phoebe has been unfortunately detained because she is the linchpin of this while Don's up there tampering around with his horses up in far north Queensland. And we're going to try and speak to Don, and we're going to try and have a dual phone call with the doctor from Sydney, Dr. Ben Fordham.
Who are we is stepping Don's, out of our lane here?
Don's psychoanalyst, Ivan, and he is fresh back from Hawaii. He's taken the missus and the little nippers over there. I think he's taken all the family, unless he's just gone on furlough on his own. We'll ask him. And we're going to try and work out, you reckon we have trouble trying to get one phone call on air. We're going to try and get two people on the phone at the same time and
this
pair them in.
But a disaster.
That is for later. But so we're going to just start this. And I thought, Ivan, would give some shout-outs. The doc said, don't worry about shout-outs. No one's interested in the shout-outs. And if you're going to do them at the end. But seeing as we're just here on our own and we don't want to get into... Have we got some topics today?
Now, we are recording this, aren't we?
You're sounding more and more like Don. Every episode... Of course we're recording it. I'm watching it here.
I'll start eating.
Start eating. The cadence bars are up. So we're going to just quickly get the shout-outs out of the way. Got some very important shout-outs. And now, first of all, you said...
Oh... Me, yes. Now I have to be delicate here, but I was at work.
Delicate?
Yeah. Oh, not really. It's a good story. Oh, I thought it was.
Ivan.
Yes.
Get on with it.
We're filling time, aren't we?
No, we've got plenty. You've got to see, you were speaking to a man at work who came up and said, are you Ivan?
So I've got this guy
across... that's not your name, incidentally.
Yeah, apparently it is now. So I had this guy over across the room staring at me, and then I look up again and he's still staring at me, and then I notice he's got security written all over him and he's got a big jangle of keys hanging off him. And then I look up again and he's walking towards me. And I thought, oh, hang on, what have I done? Next minute, he's crouching down beside me and he goes, this is going to sound a bit weird, but is your name Ivan? And I said, yes. Among other things, yes, it is. So, and then he told me a great story. He listens to the podcast. He's been listening to the podcast for over 12 months. And him and his dad, and his dad's just passed away, and him and his dad would listen to the podcast on a Wednesday, and he said it was the highlight of his week, and it was a big deal. So he said, keep doing what you're doing, because he loves it. You, Don, and
anyone else, maybe. You too. You've become an international or national star, Ivan, and we condolences to Peter's dad. Well done, Peter, and you, along with... 40, 50, 60,000, we're not sure we make those numbers up, 1,000 a week listen to us. And I preface that by saying, because I'm saying that for a reason. And then there's another shout out to a man called Shane, who comes from, lives where you are, just a man from the Docklands. He said, love the podcast. And then Percy from Torquay.
Do you know him?
I think I know a Percy. I'm not sure if he lives in Torquay.
Percy Jones?
Maybe, Ivan. Well done for...
I don't know where I know that name from.
Well done for... I was trying to deliberately not mention his name, but so you've just blurted it out. But it doesn't matter. Percy listens, and he said he liked... he liked Rex on last week. Wait till I get on and tell you who else liked Rex last week. Liked Rex last week, and he said, what is there a little bit of tension between him and Mick Sheehan? And apparently Mick said he wasn't a great fan of Rex's. And Mick said, which I thought was strange, why are you still listening to that rubbish, which is us, podcast? This is the podcast Mick was on. And, yep. You know, he made it famous or infamous and jumped off when we were charged with the most disgraceful exercise in legal shenanigans. We were charged with vilification by daring to discuss why Nicky Windmo lifted his jumper up out at Victoria Park 30 years ago. We made no conclusions, and in fact we said the only person who'd know why he lifted his jumper up would be Nicky Windmo. Mm. But this resulted in us being charged with vilification. And I stoutly wished to defend that particular charge, which Don and I did, but Mick jumped off the podcast and was quite, I don't know if he was relaxed about it, but he didn't take exception. Well, he took exception, but he didn't want to...
Well, you got to
charge anyone with the lawyer. So we said no, that's not correct. We're not copying that. And in fact, we got compensated and an apology for being accused of that. I don't know why he's worried about people listening to the podcast.
But Rex was great. I spoke with Rex during the week. He was fantastic last week.
So Phoebe, who is not here yet but will be here, and I'm glad I'm doing this before she's here, she asked, said, why don't we get Rex in to explain what he was talking about with Daisy Pierce's comments as opposed to why Wayne Carey is not on. It's very sensible discussion. And this was picked up by good night, shout out to someone who obviously is a fan of the podcast, a lass called Alice Costa, who writes in a paper. And she was enthralled with our conversation and used some of it in her publication. Alice in Wonderland, obviously. She's living in Wonderland because she said, I think, among other things, that we were... we were stale, pale,
stale?
White, male, heterosexuals. I don't know, stale? I don't know what stale means. What's that mean? You're old.
No, it means you're going off, isn't it?
Going off.
We could go off
right,
here.
Stale, okay. Today. And he said we were white and pale. Well, they're redundant, one of those two words. Yeah. You should know that. But, of course, if you have a low IQ and you're really mediocre at what you do, you probably wouldn't realise that. And she said, we're heterosexuals. Well, I'm happy to put my hand up and say I'm a heterosexual. I'm not sure what that had to do with it, but she was enthralled by Rex's conversation. And
just for the record, I'll put my hand up too.
Hmm? You're heterosexual?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, I'm not sure why being white and male and heterosexual has anything to do with what she put in a column, but she used the column and she said it was very interesting. And I made no comment about Daisy Pierce, other than I said, because I don't watch the football and I have not heard Daisy, and I made no aspersions at all about Daisy Pierce. I just said women tend to, in a male-dominated sport, tend to try too hard to show that they know what they're talking about when they don't have to. This was not a reflection on Daisy Pierce because I haven't heard her. And
well, I canvass this at work and there's a lot of support for Rex, that's for sure. Yes. So a lot of people think they want to hear from Wayne Carey.
Yes, but so this was the point of Phoebe saying, why don't we get Rex in? And poor old Alice, who was just an old steeplechaser, you know, white, I think she is. I'm not, she's just a... And poor old Alice trying to remain relevant by being edgy and putting us in her column. Nice to know that we can fill her column up by her listening and purloining what we say on her column. And so a shout out to Alice in Wonderland. So God love her. And plenty of people were of Rex's opinion,
yeah,
which was not at all a slight on Daisy Pierce. He just said that there is a place for a man who has probably been the best footballer in the modern era.
He'd be up there with the top three.
Yeah, that's right, and that's all sure. We said. And I made no reference, a bit like the Nicky Winmar thing. I made no reference at all to Nicky Winmar because I wasn't at the game 30 years ago where Mick Sheehan and Don Scott were. And suddenly I got lumped into, and I got purloined for being an old, no, stale, pale, white, male, heterosexual. As I say, coming from a fairly low IQ person who is genuinely mediocre at a job and an old steeplechaser. I mean, what the hell is all that about? Anyhow, thanks for listening, Alice.
It sells papers.
And Alice, of course, Alice in Wonderland, is the person that often rings me up for my view on various things or what did I mean by this. Nice to know we can fill her column up with stuff she gets off the podcast. So a shout out, a sincere shout out to Alice. You star, Alice, darling.
Maybe she'd like to come in.
What?
Could we get her in?
Well, could we get her in? It would be fantastic to get her in, but people get a bit intimidated by coming. I'm not sure why, because we're happy to cop anything, and we would cop anything that Alice says, because she was enthralled by our conversation, which seemed to be a genuine conversation. Anyhow,
now,
so that's
last,
a shout out to
last
her.
Week, last yes. week, I heard you and Rex, from the mine side, I was listening. I heard you and Rex. Now, why don't you... maybe one day in the future on 3AW or something like that, you and Rex and I think it's Graham Bond all get together and call a game. I don't know.
Yeah, we did that. When Rex signed off from 3AW, he was asked a year after to come on and do a game in the anniversary of him leaving or something, and I went on with Rex and Robert Walls, who used to do the special comments, and he called a game out at Marvel Stadium. So we've done that, Ivan. I'm not sure that the world is ready to receive Rex and us again because we're old, pale, stale, white heterosexuals. I wonder if I was gay or one of the alphabet genders, if I would have got a mention then. But heterosexuals, if you're heterosexual, you seem to be on the outer these days. I'm not sure why that is. But anyhow, so, and then finally, Michael Christian, not the one who oversees the tribunal. This is a shout out. Mick had a menswear, Michael Christian, menswear.com, up your mum. He was in and has brought a package in for Don, who is... If you're wondering where Don is, we haven't given him the flick. He's up, God knows what he's doing with his horses. He's riding his horses up in some show jumping thing up in far north Queensland. And we're going to try and speak to Don. We're not going to try. We're going to speak to Don on the phone, and we're going to try and speak to the doctor as well, because the doctor's back. I told you he's back from furlough.
He is.
And So we're shouting out to Mick Christian, who's bought a palatial place down in Tasmania. I can't tell you what city it's in, Launceston. And just in case people mob him, but he's on the way down there with him in the missus.
He's building a big wire cyclone fence out the front to keep all the...
Is it electrified?
I don't know.
I think it's illegal to electrify your fences.
Is it?
I think it is.
Right.
I don't think you could build a house and put an electric fence around it in case you killed someone who tried to genuinely come in and have a chat to you. So that's it. We've done Peter from we've done Percy from Torquay. Peter from Peter over there. Good on you, Peter, and Shane. So that was that. Now there's a whole lot of different things that we could chat about, Ivan, but we don't want to start chatting about them and have to repeat them.
For when Fee gets here.
Well, when Fee gets here, I was going to speak about Cam Smith. There's some huge breaking news, which I reckon no one else knows except me.
I know.
What do you know about him?
He won some tournament a couple of days ago.
You idiot. He won the British Open, the 150th anniversary of the British Open. He won that. And... I have, on very good information, I don't know if you know that there's a rival golf tour going on called the LIV, LIV, which means L is 50 in Roman numerals, and IV is 4. So it's a 54-hole tournament. Most tournaments are 72 holes, and this is a truncated version started by the Saudi Arabians, a Saudi Arabian prince. Why they're trying to do this? Do you know they've spent $2 billion dollars on securing the top players around the world to join the LIV golf tour? And I'm told from very reliable source that the man who has just won the British Open, Cam Smith, has been offered $200 million to play for 5 years on the LIV tour, because it's only a 5-year contract. All the players are only contracted for 5 years, and they're earning millions and millions of dollars. And people say, oh, it's disgraceful that they've left the PGA Tour. And people say, why is it disgraceful? They're following the money. If you play for money, and that's what they do. Who says ethically it's a bit like Kerry Packer, who started the rival...
The great man.
The great Kerry Packer, who started the rival tour as opposed to the Australian Cricket Board, and started the, World Series cricket.
That was fantastic.
And how successful was that was. Now, Kerry had a reason for doing that, I presume, and that was to get his station, which he owned at the time, Channel 9, to get some advertising by broadcasting the most successful series. I'm not sure what the Saudi Arabians get out of
after starting involved? A tour.
Is Greg Norman?
Your other friend, Donald Trump. Has he got something to do with it?
No, Donald Trump hasn't got anything to do with it, except that they play a lot of the tournaments on his courses.
In my mind, that's something to do with it.
So you think he's in with the Saudi Arabians? I don't think he's in with... I wouldn't know, but I would say that the knock-on effect of Donald Trump allowing them to play on his course is that they all come and stay at his resorts. Yeah. So you wait for this. They're going to decimate the Saudi Arabians, for whatever reason, are going to decimate the PGA, because people are going to, and I reckon they say Cam Smith is going to go and play on that tour.
Well, good for him, but I like tradition. I think he should stick with tradition and just with the PGA Tour. I like that type of thing.
Yeah, but that's fine, because they're the only thing that the people stay on those tours for, beside to make money, is to win majors. The success of how you are as a golfer is really identified by how many majors you've won. That seems to be the it's like premierships in the football.
Yeah.
If all the top players actually just get wooed and swoon over going for the money, to spend $2 billion. And the thing is, I'm not sure why the Saudi Arabians are doing it. What do they get out of it? Because they're not into televising people. They're not going to get their money back by people going and watching them play by charging at the gate. So I'm not sure what they're trying to do. Maybe it's just the fact that they want to stroke themselves to say that
they've got the best players in the world. Now, yes. Have you played in Saudi Arabia? Do they have golf courses, good ones over there,
other than the sand traps? Well, they have them in Dubai, don't they? And
I don't know.
Yeah, over in – yeah, of course they do. But I don't know I don't know what they're doing that for. But I'm telling you that's – I've on very good information that Cam Smith is going to go and play in that tour, because he's been offered $200 million.
Yep, well, I'll do that too.
It's extraordinary. As I say, I'm just trying to pick out the eyes of what we should speak about here. I've said this before. If you want, if ever I could get another job, it would be to produce televising sport. The people who televise sport, the producers and the directors who direct the camera shots, because when you televise sport, you have a whole bank of cameras up. A whole bank of screens up, mm-hmm. and you can select which camera you want to put to air. And the amount of emotion and the amount of critical information that they miss by showing, trying to be theatrical, by showing idiots in the crowd and people support teams and other things other than the combatants facing one another when the contest is over or walking towards one another, shaking hands. There's enough stuff that they miss is criminal. How they keep their job, I have no idea. Now, come in, Max. We're starting in. We've started, Max. Max has just arrived. The podcast team is assembling just piece by piece today.
So just so you know, Max, this is not the production meeting. This is the real thing.
Yes.
No, doesn't do production meetings. I know that.
Just sit down, Max. Now, Phoebe is a little late. She's been detained because she. Hang on. I'll just put you on. Because unlike us, she's got a job. So she's...
Hang on, I've still got a job.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah, no, that's
continue
true.
On, yeah,
I'm
go
the
on.
Only person hasn't got a job. So Max, I've given Max some writing instructions. I said, seeing as there's a whole lot of people here, I want him to stick to sport, because sport's what he's good at.
Very good at that, yes.
And I've just told Ivan here, Max... I don't know if you've heard of Cam Smith, have you?
I have.
Yes, well, Cam Smith, I'm told, is about to accept a $200 million offer to go and play on the LIV Tour.
Absolutely.
You knew that, did you?
I did know that, yes.
How'd you know that?
It's been a massive talking point that people keep defecting from the PGA to go to the LIV tournament, because the people, I assume, behind the doors of the PGA are saying it's morally and ethically wrong to join the Saudi Arabian competition.
No, Max, I'm just asking you, I'm genuinely asking you this.
No, I'm just giving you background, sorry.
I know the background, Max, thank you. Mm. I'm just asking you this genuinely. Has that been announced and has that been speculated that Cameron Smith is going over to the LIV Tour, has it?
It's been speculated and is... officially hasn't been announced. Oh, well. So the amount of money has been speculated as well.
Oh, well, I haven't broken
I've
any...
Heard, I've heard 250.
I haven't broken any news at all, Ivan. I thought that I was announcing that because I know on very good authority, and I can't tell you the authority, but it's extremely good authority, that would put a fly in the ointment. So, so Max, seeing as we're waiting for Phoebe to arrive and we're doing sport that we've dipped... we've done the shout-outs already... you might remember that we spoke last week. We had Rex in here. Were you here when Rex was here?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And we gave a shout out to Alice in Wonderland, Alice Costa, who used our chat with Rex to say that we were pale, stale, white, and masculine, or heterosexual, or something. And she filled a whole column up by giving us a bit of a leg up, and we're very happy to give her a shout out. You remember Alice, don't you? You know that. Well, you wouldn't remember Alice, but you know she got a dribbly little.
Did she
column.
Get that from Dr. Seuss or something?
Stale whale. She probably would have been fed that by her someone, because she's hardly enlightened. And the great thing about, and I'm going to say this again, and people will misconstrue this. The great thing, I've been watching the World Athletic Championships, I've been watching the rowing, and I watched the golf. And every time an Australian came up, they held up the Australian flag, which is fine. I don't care what the Australian flag is made up of, but at least it denotes it's Australia. Why we put two flags, one on top of our bridge here, the West Gate, and one on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, we put the Aboriginal flag alongside the Australian flag. Now, please don't misconstrue this. We have taken over the land. We've apologised. I'm not sure what else we can do. We show respect. Every time we go to an event, we acknowledge the traditional, all that stuff. Why, if you arrive on a ship or go to Australia and you see two flags, it just shows people that division. We are a divided country. No other country in the world puts different flags up to show that they are in a country, to my knowledge. And I have no idea why we think we have to do that. If you want to change the flag, this is just about showing we are united. Everyone says we should unite and be one at one with people, and that people go out of their way to divide us. And I don't care what people say if they say, oh, you're racist and all. That has nothing to do with it. That is just being a nationalist. You're a national supporter of the country you live in. And it was fantastic to see the flags around at the various sporting events that show that you're an Australian. If you put two different flags up, people say, what is that?
Well, I was flying back from Noongar country yesterday into here in Melbourne, and over the Mr. Joyce plane was welcome to Wiradjuri country, and I thought, Jesus, where am I? And then, no, that was all right. I was in Melbourne.
Yeah, no, but that's crept into the lexicon. Now, every time there's an event or every time that has crept in that we acknowledge the traditional owners, that's fine.
But I don't know how many times you fly, but when you go to the boarding lounge, it's all been changed around. So Melbourne or Sydney, they're all the just in smaller letters and the
Indigenous names. And so
it's usually like underneath. Yeah, he gets put in with the baggage and the dogs.
So the activists, and good on them, but they just keep pushing and pushing, and people roll over because they don't want to be accused. They say, "Hang on a minute, we are Australians." And we acknowledge everything, but why do we have to actually keep going on and ramming it down people's throats? Now, Max, and talking about Mr. Joyce's airline, we booked three seats to go up to Queensland for a reason. Doesn't matter what the reason is.
Bullshit. Give context to it.
Shut up, Max, please.
I'm giving context to the story because you and the eldest brother screwed up with your bickering. We booked flights to go and surprise the middle boy's, Jordan's, 40th birthday. It was supposed to be a surprise.
But no one's interested in this, Max.
And I will.
Has it happened?
This just gives context to what sort of a father that he is and how much of an idiot our eldest brother is. They were having a discussion about what to do up there to surprise the boy. And then he let mention that he's spoken to Jordan and said, we're coming up. But he didn't give any context as to who we was. And then Jack went, what do you mean? You've let the surprise go. And then he calls him and ruins it all.
Max, oh, my Lord. The reason I mentioned this is Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce, his airline, the two Mr. Joyces, we booked the seats and we thought, oh, we won't book for business class. We won't book business class because we're going a bit dusty, to be honest, and we're just trying to keep the shackles in there. But we thought what we might do is just see if we can put our foot on, for want of a better word, an exit row seat, because they have bigger leg room because Max is just
7 foot.
Max is the size of a tree, and Jack's big, and I'm a pale, stale, white, male, heterosexual that Alice in Wonderland said we were, do you have a preference? You do this online. I didn't. Jack did it. Do it online. Says, yes, I'd like to. Oh, look, then the exit row seats are not taken, so we booked those, and bugger me dead. It costs you $60 extra. Did you know that? Did you?
Yeah.
To put your foot on an exit row seat.
Yes.
Well, what happens if the whole plane was full and no one said they want an exit row seat, but just because they're the only seats available and they said, well, here, you sit in the exit row, would you be, if you didn't request them, would you have to pay $60 just to sit in them? Of course you wouldn't.
They'd handpick people to sit in those seats. The exit row's always got to be full. Always.
I copped that when I travelled recently.
What?
They didn't have any extra legroom seats available, and then the manager came over and said, we've got these available, you have to pay extra. I said, but where else can I sit? The plane's booked. I've booked my seat. My seat's not there. And he said, there's this seat, you have to pay extra. I said, but I paid for my ticket. He said, okay, we'll just give it to you. So that's just all they do.
They'll always
ask first.
Yeah, but that's my point. If the plane was full and they're the only three seats available and say, you can sit here, and they'd say, but it'll cost you $60. You said, no, if I don't want to pay $60, give me an ordinary seat. And they say, no, we haven't got ordinary seats, but you can sit here. Surely they couldn't charge you $60.
No.
What a ridiculous...
They will.
If the airline is going that bad, how many exit row seats are there? Six or five?
Six. Yeah, you got six.
Six sixes. $360 they charge six people to sit. Surely the airlines aren't going that bad. Oh, really? Anyhow, well, obviously it is, Mr. and Mr. Joyce. I bet Mr. and Mr. Joyce don't sit in exit row seats. They'd be sitting up in the cockpit, probably.
Well, that maybe they're minding their home, waiting for all the toilet paper and eggs to fly on their roof that was in the paper last week.
Well, their house get TP'd.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What was that, Ivan?
It was in the paper last week.
No, I missed that.
Yeah, their house in Rose Bay in Sydney was egged by...
By whom?
I think residents.
People who had to pay $60 to sit in the exit row seats.
Why were they egged? I don't know. I only caught the headline.
Why did the residents egg Mr. and Mr. Joyce's house?
Let's get to the other side.
Well, we'll ask Phoebe.
Soiree parties.
Soiree parties. Remember this for when Phoebe comes in. She should be across.
We desperately need Phoebe. Where is she?
Well, so Max, we're trying to fill in.
She's filling up.
We've been going
for
30 minutes. We'll finish this by the time she gets here. So while we're here, Max.
So he's already done the flag. Shut up, Max. That means we'll be talking about Dan Andrews.
We're doing
next
sport.
Trump,
we're doing sport because you're here. Could you tell me, Max, Crystal Palace played Manchester United at the MCG last night and they got 76,000 people to it. Do you find that extraordinary?
That's less than what they projected. They projected 85.
Oh, well, all right. I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm just saying.
That's the biggest crowd. The two visiting soccer sides, when Manchester United played Melbourne Victory, didn't they get 86,000, biggest crowd ever to be at the MCG for a football game in recent decades, matter what sport it is?
So firstly, something that come off from that 76,000 is Manchester United has now put in a request to play an EPL game down here for actual points rather than practice matches, which would be fantastic.
I would go to that.
Yeah, I would go to that too, and I'm not a massive soccer fan, but that would be an experience. The only thing that I do say is, though, obviously, I don't know if you've ever watched a soccer game, but football's usually not
serious?
The massive... What? Oh, hang on. I meant a top-tier game.
Watch the EPL every week, I do.
Okay.
Yep.
That's something I never knew. Football is a very entertaining sport, but the crowds there are ridiculous, the way they get boisterous in about the game.
Segregate them.
No.
They do.
Do they?
Mm.
Okay. Is it worth the MCG possibly being destroyed in some areas or vandalised or everything like that, which it has been over the three games that they've played so far, with seats being smashed and things being destroyed in the bathroom sinks?
With the soccer?
With the fans that have gone there. So is it worth potentially getting... I think it would be worth it, but at the same time, people might not think it.
Yes. Once you let the tail wag the dog, if you are, I take your point seriously, if you are going to decide and be doubtful whether you put on a world-class event because the unruly crowd might ruin it, I tell you what, the government, whichever one government you like, should call in the National Guard and call in the National Guard, and at the first sign of any of that nonsense, they go in with the coshes and the water hoses and they put them in the back of the wagon and they take them out. And you might end up, when there's 80,000, 90,000 people, you might end up with a crowd of 50,000. They might have taken 40,000 away in cattle trucks. But I tell you what, you cannot let the tail wag the dog.
Or we could get the security guards from the Stamford Plaza from the COVID hotels. They're onto it.
That's right. Or the people that egged Mr. and Mr. Joyce's house in Double Bay or Rose Bay, they could get them to throw eggs at the... So I thought that was extraordinary that they got 76. You underestimated the crowd, Max. You thought there should be more there.
No, that's what they projected.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes.
Now, we've already done Cam Smith, and I want you now to tell me, Max, just if you've got any news on the AFL, because we're not across that and Don's not across it. So give us, while we're doing sport, until Phoebe arrives.
I would like to converse with Phoebe about it because she would know a few of the things I'm going to talk about, but I could still try if you'd like. but you're not going to have any idea.
What?
I'd like to have a discussion about it with someone
discussion
rather than just,
what?
Just talk about the AFL.
Well, go ahead.
That
have a discussion with Ivan and not me.
Okay. No,
I don't follow football.
There you go.
Well, I follow. Go on.
Follow football. You just said you didn't.
What are you going to say about it? And I'll tell you if I can join in.
North Melbourne.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Go ahead. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they've requested another priority pick from the AFL after already holding the number one pick by just usual terms of finishing last on the ladder. They have the rights to the number one pick and they put in a request to the AFL to get another priority pick. Now, priority pick, Dad, is what?
Priority pick is the best rookie considered in the country. Is that what you're saying?
No, priority pick is earliest possible selection that doesn't belong to a club already. So they're vying for the top two picks of the draft, more or less.
Who are?
Oh, I don't know who the young talents are. They change very, very rapidly when it gets close to the draft. People who was at 20th can go to 2nd and people who are at 2nd can go to 10th.
Do you think that's reasonable? That they get the another priority pick?
Well, I use the analogy, why would you give a colouring book to a blind man?
What's that, Max?
Why would you give a colouring book to a blind man?
That's something you'd say, Foss.
Why would you give a colouring book? That's like having a fly-wire door on a submarine.
There you go, exactly. They've had, I think, 4 or 5 priority picks over 10 or 12 years, maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
It might only be 4, actually. It might be overestimating. But they still keep getting it wrong. They keep drafting the wrong players. They keep drafting midfielders that don't show any potential. They're not drafting key forwards or key backs, except for one, who's Ben Mackay, who's very good. They're just not... The people in charge aren't doing the club justice. They should ask for priority picks and go out and pick people from Geelong that are great at recruiting rather than keep on relying on the people there.
And what does the hapless boss of the AFL say?
I think the hapless boss, it was only announced recently that they've put in a discussion with the AFL. I don't think the AFL's commented on it yet. The AFL, the big tall Gillen, he's more concerned about the head high tackles that a little boy.
He's more concerned about being woke rather than running the competition properly.
It's very good sport by you. No, the other thing that's happening in the AFL is Joel Selwood and Jack Ginnivan, the debate on high tackles and the comments by Chris Scott. Not so much defending Joel Selwood's actions, but stating that there is a clear difference, which I cannot talk to either of you about respectively because you don't know who Jack Ginnivan is.
Well, let me ask you. Who?
Jack Ginnivan.
No, I've never heard of Jack Ginnivan.
I've heard of Selwood.
Yeah. I've heard of Selwood. So
yeah, it's very good.
What is the debate about high tackles, Max? You said there's a certain difference between a high tackle and... not a high tackle, did you say that?
No, there's a difference between how Selwood possibly receives a high tackle when compared to Jack Ginnivan. So Ginnivan's become...
And receives or gives?
Receives.
Okay.
Yes. So the big talking point this year has got to be Jack Ginnivan's unique ability to draw high free kicks, because what he does is he lowers his body, lowers his hips, lowers his knees. He then forces...
What is he, a dwarf?
He's a contortionist. Go on, Max.
He lifts his arm straight up, points his elbow to the sky in order to get any arm or anything that's holding his arm straight up onto his shoulder, and then he dives his head into the player. It's become a farce, and it's quite ridiculous, to be honest.
He sounds like a construction site.
I know. I'm trying to explain it the best I can for someone who hasn't seen it or has clarity on it.
But you're explaining it beautifully, Max, but... Do you know who the end adjudicator of this is? If they knew anything about whether people are staging or manipulating the competition for their own benefit, the umpires should understand that if someone is deliberately trying to force a free kick, or that is a tactic, that might be a very good skill that you use that particular skill you have to elicit a free kick, and it is up to the people who are tackling to work out. Oh, I better be careful because this man's very good at actually me infringing.
This is going to be more...
a skill.
Yeah, this is going to be
slipping
more...
the noose.
This is going to be more difficult to explain because when you see it side by side to someone like Selwood, it looks different but the same outcome is reached. Now, umpires have recently, over the past 2 weeks, not been paying these high free kicks because they've seen what he's doing, and for some reason it's all in the book. That's a high tackle. That's what he's done. it's a flip of the coin decision, which we're trying to eliminate from the game. So if they're not going to call it and he's going to keep doing it, in all honesty, it's going to cause him and Collingwood more damage in the future. His head will be... Joel Selwood's a very good player and a very good man, but he is... Yeah, I worry for his brain in 15 years with the amount of head knocks he's had and high tackles he's drawn. And Ginnivan feels like he's going to be on the same pathway. He's getting smashed when he goes into those contests because he's leading with his head. The AFL has tried so hard with his concussion protocols and 2 weeks off and, well, 1 week off, sorry, for head knocks and sub rules and everything like that. Why they wouldn't come out and try and alleviate leading with your head for the safety of players makes no sense to me. Yet they're just letting the umpires go into interpretations and changing rules regarding spaces, men running in the space for 50 metres, which was changed 2 weeks ago. It just doesn't make any sense.
When you said North Melbourne, I was going to...
Stop kicking my feet.
Oh, sorry about that, mate. I was going to mention the psychology of sport. Did North Melbourne, am I mistaken, or did they not beat...
Richmond.
They beat Richmond last game?
They beat Richmond, yes.
This is out of all the turmoil of them going out of business and the board resigning and the coach resigning.
Yeah.
Suddenly got up and beat Richmond. If you want to actually look no further than the psychology of sport, why do you have to face completed adversity and complete lack of form and ability and have your... integrity questioned because you are failing in a sport, and suddenly an upheaval comes and they say, right, we're going to actually go out and have a go, and they end up beating the
Richmond Tigers.
The Richmond Tigers, going to say the Premiers, but they weren't.
No, they weren't.
Premiers the year before or whenever.
I will say this.
How can that happen,
yeah,
Max?
Well, whilst they did win, they absolutely shouldn't have won. If you know the score, North Melbourne kicked 14-8, Richmond kicked 11-22.
Oh, I see.
They only won by 4 points.
Did you actually ever think, Max, I'm only offering this as a genuine question, did you ever consider that the 11-22 they kicked, the 22 points were kicked because predominantly the other mob forced them onto the boundary line and they were always kicking and having shots at an acute angle rather than maintaining the corridor and not allowing them to have more easy shots?
You can easily make arguments for both those. I would have thought that if I hadn't watched the game and watched where they missed the shots.
Good.
See, that's the difference.
Okay.
So they missed point blank shots and shots on the run, which top tier AFL players and midfielders in particular should be kicking. But that's beside the point.
So you're saying Richmond's inability to kick straight is the reason North Melbourne won, and of course kicking straight is what the major part, like putting in golf, is what the major part of our game's about, and if you can't kick straight, you're no good.
Absolutely. I hope North Melbourne don't win a game for the next 14 months the way they've just dumped their coach again. How they couldn't play with that sort of spirit when... what's his name? He's been out of the game for a week and I've already forgotten his name.
This is my point, Max. How can a makeshift side with a makeshift coach come out and beat Richmond because suddenly they think, oh, we'll have a real go because we've been embarrassed?
No,
it is a shocking indictment on their intellect.
Indictment's a very good word, and it's an indictment on the players as
that's
people.
And
I thought you were talking about the people behind the scenes in the coaches panel.
No, people behind the scenes. Not out on the park. Trying to do this, Max.
And they're going to lose all their experience next year. Todd Goldstein's not going to be there. He'll abandon the club, and rightly so.
Now, I'm going to wind this up now because Phoebe should be here, but I thought I might just... This is nothing to do with sport. I thought I might get this in because she might get embarrassed if we bring this up. She's a girl or a woman, but I don't want to think that...
What's her pronouns?
Her pronouns are thou, thee and thy, I think. And I'm not doing this because people think that's sexist, but she might get embarrassed because she has a job and her employer might say, what are you...
Hang on, it's 44 minutes, it's just ticked over. I've got two more really good questions to ask both of you in regards
to
sport. Number one, the AFL recently lifted the vaccine mandate. So three people, both from the AFL and AFLW, weren't allowed to play this season in both their respective competitions because they weren't vaccinated. I cannot think of the two AFLW players off the top of my head, but the AFL player, his name is Liam Jones. Now, he's now been allowed to come back into the AFL as of next year. And he
without
can't
being
return
vaccinated.
Without being vaccinated. Good. And he can't return now back to his club that he left. So he now has to go into the draft. And he was, for what he is, he's a decent backman that could be used across just about any club in the AFL. And Carlton has gone to the AFL and said, well, we want compensation. We've lost a key back because of your mandates, and now you're lifting them. So the AFL's done a backflip now with their vaccinations. Just thought you should know that. And Leighton Hewitt's been inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame.
Yes, good
fantastic.
On Leighton. I knew that. I've said this when I used to do the podcast with Mick Sheehan and Grant Thomas, and then
who?
Grant Thomas. We used to do.
Who's that?
What?
Is he the bloke that's asking for the AFL live? Like an idiot. Did you see that?
Well, hang.
He's asking for a live AFL competition.
Grant Thomas is.
Grant Thomas.
No, I didn't know that. But he's. Yeah. I didn't. But I used to say this. We have a dinky little competition. A great little sport at the bottom of a great little country played in three states predominantly called AFL football. Three states predominantly. And as I keep saying, if the bloke who runs this competition, who sits up in the top office, worried more about running the competition properly than all the other peripheral matters that he gets involved with, like sticking his bib into us when we actually have a discussion about people like Nicky Winmar, the competition would be far better off, and probably it's about time for him to move on.
He is moving on.
Yeah, thank heavens.
Well, he resigned 3 months ago.
Yeah, good. And
and then you'll probably have a coffee with him.
And how's my suggestion going? The person from Western Australia, who runs up
Basil,
heads up Shell Asia, Shell Petroleum Asia.
That's a woman.
Yes, a woman.
Yep. Very good one.
Her name is Zoe. I can't think of her surname. It's Eastern name. Yeah, you look her up. She is a star.
I will.
And she probably doesn't like me, and I'm good to understand that. But
why is she a star?
Because she's. Because we could tick a whole lot of boxes here, Max. We could actually make it not a male-dominated sport by having someone... What's her name?
I could spell
it. Yes, no, I know. Zoe...
Juvenoch.
Yep. And she would be a star because she's run a business and running a football... running a sporting...
Oh, you're giving her...
Competition
oh,
is like running
doing.
A business.
Okay.
Hmm. She. I hope she applies. She might be interested.
But surely you've got to hold a passion, but whilst also a very good business background to run the sport, would you not?
It's a business.
It's a business, yes, but it's a business that at the very core of it is about sport.
Wow. And she was on the board of the West Coast Eagles.
Okay, there you go. I didn't know that. That's a bit of valued information.
It is. All right. Well, Max, is there anything I won't bring up the thing. I'll bring this up when Phoebe comes in, even though I'm not trying to not embarrass her because she's a woman. I just thought that we might get this out of the way. It's a study that the Kyoto Prefectural University of Medicine has come up with. The Kyoto Prefectural University of Medicine has come up with.
You know what? I don't blame you for not being
prefecture.
Able to read that. Your handwriting's terrible.
Prefecture?
Prefectural. 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 Prefectural University of Medicine. They've come up with this study. And I want to know who would have commissioned it in the first place. But I'll save that for Phoebe. So that's it. Well done. We did the shout-outs and we're going to ring in. What's the time?
Now, Max,
I've
got a question for you.
Yes, Ivan.
Runners. Ben Fordham.
Fuck.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, the dock,
we're finishing. We're finishing.
Hit the button, boss.